The supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it, and leave no grief unless Thou takes it away, and leave no enemy, and leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the name of Allah, the best of the names. In the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listener of IRIB English Radio, today's special, salam and welcome to this program. Today we're going to speak about Allah in our daily life.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, حقق أمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا. Ya Allah, Ya Mannan, حقق أمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا.
Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس. أغبط لنا إحساس أنت هالينا.
Today, Monday, is the 11th of Jamadi al-Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 6th of Bahman, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 25th of January, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Chapter Ma'idah from the Holy Quran, verse 23. We'll listen to it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قال رجلان من الذين يخافون أنعم الله عليهم ادخلوا عليهم الباب فإذا دخلتموه فإنكم غالبون وعلى الله فتوكلوا إن كنتم مؤمنين.
Said two men from those who feared to disobey upon whom Allah had bestowed favor, enter upon them through the gate, for when you have entered it, you will be predominant, and upon Allah rely, if you should be believers.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
As the Quranic commentary books indicate, those two men who are mentioned in the verse were from among those 12 chiefs of the Israelites. By the way, fearing God is a cause for absorbing the favors of Allah and His bounties. So the one who is in awe of Allah does not fear any other might, and therefore he must rely only on Allah.
Yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves, isn't this proof enough for us?
The signs of God in our daily life. One step is knowing Allah and peacefulness. Psychologists say that mental and psychological diseases are greater in our time than any other. They say that one of the factors in anxiety over future events, anxiety over death, anxiety over war, anxiety of fear and failure. They add, among the things which can take anxiety away from the person's spirit is faith in Allah, because whenever an anxiety wants to penetrate one's spirit, faith in God pushes it away. A God who is kind, a God who helps one meet one's needs, a God who is aware of his servant's condition, and if they turn towards him, He helps them and frees them from anxiety. Because of this, a real believer always has a sense of peacefulness and no anxiety exists within his or her spirit. Whatever such a person does is for Allah. Even if one suffers a loss, one seeks its replacement from Allah. Such a person even enters the war front with a smile. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the role of feeling the presence of God in our daily life, in our worldly life, those people who are really considerate of the presence of God, they are intellectually more capable and more developed than others, because they receive the light of guidance from God. Imam Ali alayhi salam, in one of his speeches, indicated it in this way: من ذكر الله سبحانه وأحيى الله قلبه ونور أقله ولبه. Whoever is always considerate of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlivens his heart and enlightens his intellection, his power of thinking, faculty of thinking, and his sense of taking decisions. Elsewhere, Imam Ali alayhi salam indicated in this way: "Al-dhikru nuru al-aqul wa hayatu an-nufus wa jala'u as-sudur." Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering God, is the light for intellections, life for souls, and more development for hearts. I mean, for minds. Another one is that another use of remembering God is being steadfast and achieving victory and triumph. In the Holy Quran, it's indicated: يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِئَةً فَاثْبُتُوا وَذَكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. O believers, when you encounter the enemies, be steadfast and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly, so that you would be the triumphants. Now we find that Imam Ali, the fourth infallible Imam, Ali ibn al-Husayn al-Sajjad alayhi salam, prays for the guards of the territories of the vast Islamic empire in that, oh Allah, may you make those guardians of the frontiers of the entire, of the vast territory of the Islamic empire, not to be deceived by the exuberance of this worldly life. Instead, make the divine paradise always shining before their eyes.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong, and a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone.
Relying on Allah in our daily lives. How to be mindful of Allah. Dear brothers and sisters, modern life involves a daily bustle of noise, distraction, and information overload. Our senses are constantly stimulated from every direction to the point that a small moment of quiet stillness seems impossible for some of us. This continuous agitation hinders us from getting the most out of each moment, subtracting from the quality of our prayers and our ability to remember Allah. A Muslim in a state of mindfulness is in continuous full knowledge that Allah is aware of him or her, inwardly and outwardly.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever. Your hearts, a gay love.
today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Easy ways to remember Allah. Give charity. Giving sadaqah or voluntary acts of charity doesn't only need to be momentary. The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him and his family, said, "Your smile to your brother is a sadaqah, charitable act for you. Your commanding the right and forbidding the wrong is a sadaqah. Your guiding a man in the land of misguidance is a sadaqah for you. Your seeing, showing the way for a man with bad eyesight is a sadaqah for you. Your removing a stone or throne or bone from the road is a sadaqah for you. Your emptying your bucket of water into your brother's empty bucket is a sadaqah for you." Isn't that amazing? Practically, anything you do for someone else, no matter how big or small, is an act of charity if done for the sake of Allah. Find something that's easy for you to do on a day-to-day basis that speaks to you on a personal level, even if it's by giving one compliment to someone daily or even just holding open the door.
In your heart, never object to anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done in your life. And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, in one amazing hadith, he warns us. You know what he says? The Imam says, "لو أن قوما عبدوا الله وحده لا شريك له." If you have a group of people who worship Allah and only Allah, they do not worship any other idols, and they pray, and they fast, and they give charity, and they go to Hajj, and they fast in the month of Ramadan. However, when it comes to something that Allah has done or the Prophet has done, they object and they say, "Why? Why couldn't Allah do it in a different way?" If they say that, and in their hearts they feel this way, the Imam says, then these people are essentially mushrik. These people are worshipping not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people are actually worshipping their desires. When you say, "Oh, why did this happen to me? Oh Allah, why me? Why this problem? Why this tragedy?" You know what that means? That means I know better than Allah. Because if things were in my own hand, I would have done them differently. You're challenging God's wisdom? How can anyone say that? This takes away your iman, brothers and sisters. Always submit, train your heart to submit to the circumstances that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for you. Never object.
That was all for today's special. Thank you so much for being with us till the end of our program. Till another episode of today's special. May Allah keep you safe.
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes, yeah. I know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine. When I'm out there in the darkest place, worn and tired, I can still see you illuminate all my skies. When it feels like I've fallen too far from you,
food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and today we will present you a piece of lamentation by Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. regarding the injustice done to her and her blessed household. O Father, after you, the magnitude of calamities that afflicted me was so severe that it could have turned bright days into dark nights.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. It's a very beautiful tradition from Imam Ridha alayhi salam, the 8th Holy Imam. But before we get into the tradition, we should understand that, you know, we live in a world today where it is seen or it is, you know, told to us that, you know, being lonely is a bad thing. You should not be lonely. However, by actually pondering upon this tradition, we come to understand that a human being can never be lonely. This is just one aspect of the tradition we can pull out, that we are never lonely. We always have a friend with us if we actually apply this tradition in its correct manner. So if the Imam alayhi salam, that is Imam Ridha alayhi salam, says that every man's friend is his intellect. And the enemy of every man is his foolishness. So here, for example, there is a contrast between two key words that, you know, has been mentioned many times. One, that is of the aql. And the conflicting term or the antonym of the aql is jahl. And in this book that we are using, it has been translated as foolishness. And the author gave the reasons why. But it can also be said to be ignorance, or, you know, not being able to truly come to grips of what you are meant to do. You know, you're lackadaisical, a jahl. So here, for example, if we ponder upon the tradition, we see that the Imam alayhi salam comparing the intellect to a friend, and jahl or ignorance or foolishness to that of an enemy, would have to come a step back and say, okay, why is the Imam saying this? Let us look at the example of what is a purpose, or what is the purpose of a friend. A true friend is that individual who only has the best interests of his friend at heart. All he wants is the best for that person. He will not, you know, guide him towards something that is bad for him. For example, if he's going towards something bad, he will advise him, don't go there. If he's stopping from doing something good, he tells him, go and do it. On the opposite, an enemy is that person who does not wish any goodness for that person. An enemy will wish for the destruction of that person, be it physically, spiritually, mentally, whatever way you wish, you know, or whatever way you wish to see it. This is why the Imam alayhi salam is comparing it, you know, to a friend and to an enemy. That the intellect, if used properly, that intellect will guide you towards that which is good and keep you away from that which is bad, just like a friend will. And however, if you don't have a proper intellect, if that aql is not working properly, it is not to its capacity that you have been given, and it is you have jahl, then obviously it will not be able to stop you from that which is bad and guide towards that which is good. You might think you are going towards good, or you might think that you are not doing which is bad. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. In the new series of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, first we're going to have some quotes about the Quran by some Western scholars. Then we're going to listen to some verses of the Noble Quran recited by one of the famous reciters from around the world. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed of the Noble Quran, is going to analyze the recitation. And finally, at the end, you're going to listen to a segment called Attractiveness of the Noble Quran by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Dear audience, stay tuned. George Sale was a British Orientalist scholar of the 18th century. He is best known for the translation of the Noble Quran into English, and for many years, his work used to be one of the main sources for Quranic studies. In the introduction of his translation, he has written, "Very extraordinary effects are related of the power of words well chosen and artfully placed, which are no less powerful either to ravish or amaze than music itself. Wherefore, as much has been ascribed by the best orators to this part of rhetoric as to any other." Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 142 and 143 of Surah Al-A'raf, recited by Ahmad al-Ruzayqi. Let's enjoy it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وواعدنا موسى 30 ليلة وأتممناها بعشر فتم ميقات ربه 40 ليلة وقال موسى لأخيه هارون اخلفني في قومي وأصلح ولا تتبع سبيل المفسدين ولما جاء
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, you just listened to the recitation of Sheikh Ahmad al-Ruzayqi, who recited verses 142 to 143 of Surah Al-A'raf. And now we're going to analyze these verses in terms of the tajweed. وَوَعَدَنَا. We have qalqala of dal in the word وَعَدَنَا. The dal is sakin, so we have to make sure that the sound bounces back from its place of articulation. وَوَعَدْنَا مُوسَى ثَلَاثِينَ لَيْلَةً. If you stop on laylah, the ta, which is ta marbuta, becomes a ha, is pronounced like a ha. But if you don't stop, if you continue, the ta is pronounced like a normal ta. وَوَعَدْنَا مُوسَى ثَلَاثِينَ لَيْلَةً وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ. Okay, so laylatan wa atmamnaha, we have idgham of nun sakinah in that phrase, and so we have to apply also ghunnah because there's a waw after the tanween. We hold the waw nasally for two vowel counts. Wa atmamnaha bi'ashr. If we stop, the ra is pronounced with tafkhim, but if we continue, the ra is pronounced with tarqiq. وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشِّرِينَ فَتَمَّ. So as you can see, the ra has a tanwinul kasr, so it's pronounced with tarqiq if you do wasl. But if you do waqf, because of the fatha that precedes the sheen, it's pronounced with tafkhim. بِعَشِّرِينَ فَتَمَّ مِيقَاتُ رَبِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً. Now this laylah, which is a place of waqf, is pronounced like a ha. وَقَالَ مُوسَى قَالَ قَالَ. Qaf is pronounced with tafkhim, the mouth opening vertically. وَقَالَ مُوسَى لِأَخِيهِ هَارُونَ اخْلُفْنِي فِي قَوْمِي. قَوْمِي, again the qaf has tafkhim. وَأَصْلِحْ صَاد, tafkhim. وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. تَتَّبِعْ, Ayn has tawassut. We should not pronounce it with shadda. We shouldn't say wala tattabi'. Tattabi' is incorrect. Tattabi'. We have to make sure that the sound resonates a little bit. Sabil al mufsidin. Walamma ja'a Musa limiqatina wa kallamahu rabbuhu qala rabbi arini. أنظر إليك. Now, okay, let's go. This is the final point. The final point for this verse is قَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ. We have two قَلْغَلَاز, سُبْحَانَكَ and تُبْتُ. سُبْحَانَكَ تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
كتاب الله, كتاب الله,
dear audience, now it's time to listen to the final segment of the program called Attractiveness of the Noble Quran. We invite you to listen to Brother Yasser Ibrahim. He's going to tell stories of those whose lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. In this episode, we would like to mention a story regarding one of the granddaughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who in fact is one of the granddaughters of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. Her name was Nafisa, and it is only two generations until she reaches Imam Hasan alayhi salam. That is, Imam Hasan alayhi salam had a son by the name of Zayd, who had a son whose name was Hasan, who then had a daughter whose name was Nafisa. She is an individual who, in the books of the Sunni brothers and sisters and our own book, that is the books of the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, she is somebody who has been, you know, admired, whose, you know, qualities and attributes have been, you know, looked up upon, have been a point of, you know, reverence for us as individuals. And she was married to an individual by the name of Ishaq,
who was the son of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, as it is mentioned in the books. One story that it is narrated here, that she was an individual who was very close to the practices of Islam, be it fasting, be it, you know, the prayer or the salah. And it is said that she would always be fasting. It was something that she really enjoyed doing. In the story that is narrated here, it is mentioned that even at the time of her demise, so she was about to leave this world, she was in the state of fasting. Those around her, you know, apparently her family members, those, for example, who were close to her, were, you know, stressing on her, you know, it's not good for your health, for example. You know, it's not the time for you to be fasting. It's fine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want you to fast at this time. You know, some people will say that. But she insisted that, no, I'm going to remain fasting. And as she, in that state of fasting, and obviously in that state of, you know, being close to her demise, it may be possible that she knew that she was going now. Because a person who of the family of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had such great qualities and characteristics, who had such proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is possible that she knew this, that this was the time that she was going to go. So she said, let me meet my Lord in the state of fasting. So anyway, she then began to recite the verse from Surah An'am. And she really apparently loved the Surah An'am until she reached the 127th verse of the Surah, where it says, for them shall be peace near their Lord. When she reached this verse, she remained silent. And all those around her looked and they saw, just as she finished reciting this blessed verse of the Holy Quran, she left this transient world and returned to her Lord. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who passed away with the Holy Quran on our lips as well, inshaAllah. Until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق فيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو يوهو بليس استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
منبر. A lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listener of Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, we invite you to listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
My dear brothers and sisters in Iman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We were looking at the topic of the Ten Commandments for a healthy Islamic life. But tonight I also want to show us another side of Islam, which is, we can look at it as maybe being the social consciousness, that as Muslims we should be concerned about the world that we live in today. And so we have to realize that Islam talked about this issue of environmentalism, of taking care of the environment, There's a beautiful tradition where Rasulullah tells us that safeguard this earth because she is your mother. This example that we have of Mother Earth in English, it's not a new phenomenon. Rasulullah called earth our mother. Rasulullah tells us that even in terms of ibadat, right, there's a hadith where one time Rasulullah sees one of his companions making wudu, and he's at a running stream. It's a flowing stream of water. And the companion is using more water than he should for wudu. Now keep in mind, it's a running stream, so it's not like it's going to stop at any time. But he used more water for wudu than he should. And Rasulullah said that, stop using so much water. I'm paraphrasing the hadith. Don't use that much water. And the companion says, Ya Rasulullah, this is a flowing stream of water. What do you mean, don't waste it? There's no wastage. I'll use it, whatever is left falls back into the stream anyways, or the river, it'll get carried downstream, somebody else will use it. But Rasulullah said to this man that even still, don't waste the water, don't use more than you need to use. Imagine at a stream, Rasulullah says this. Again, we reflect on us as Muslims, go to the bathroom after somebody's done wudu, it's like there's about a flood in that bathroom. You know, literally it's like a flood on the floor, in the sink, everywhere. Why? Because we think we have to be like drenched from head to toe to make wudu. When you can literally take an 8-ounce glass of water, or even less than that, and make wudu with that. Look at some of our great mujtahids and maraja. Our great scholars, they would wake up in the middle of the night to make wudu. But what they would do is they didn't want their wife or children to know they're waking up for Salatul Layl. So before they went to bed, they would take a small glass of water, maybe like the cups we use for tea here, and they would put it aside. And they would wake up in the morning and make wudu with that small glass of water, like a small cup of coffee that you get. Imagine from a small glass, an 8-ounce glass, you can make a full wudu, maybe two times. But you look at the Muslims and the water is running and running and running, and we don't think about it. Again, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كانوا إخوان الشياطين. Keep that verse in mind, that when you and I waste, we're becoming brothers of the devils. And so we have to realize that we will be questioned by Allah. We are responsible for this earth. We were put here not to destroy and decimate it and rip up all the trees and pollute the rivers with oil spills and all of these things, and to destroy all of the beauty that Allah has given us. No, we are here to become stewards of the earth, the khulafa of Allah, the ones who safeguard this planet for the next generation and until the time of Imam al-Hujjah, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Keep in mind that on the Day of Judgment, we have a hadith where Rasulullah tells us that we will not be able to move one step forward on the Day of Judgment until we answer for four questions. There are multiple hadith that talk about this in different ways. I'll give us just one hadith for tonight where Rasulullah says that the servant of God will not move one step forward until they are asked about four things. And not only asked, but we obviously have to provide a valid response to Allah. The first thing that Rasulullah said is, "An shababihi, fima ablahu." You and I, all of us in this room, we were youth at one time. 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. The hadith says that we will be asked about our youth age and how we spent it. Did we spend it playing Fortnite for hours on end? Right? A useless game, really. Did we spend it in front of our video games playing till 2, 3, 4 in the morning? I'm not saying don't play video games. No, you know, have some time to unwind. There's hadith about time management where the imams tell us, and have some time for yourself to relax. It'll help you in worship of Allah. But we have to realize that a period of our youth is so important. We shouldn't waste it in front of a television, playing video games. You have nature to explore. You have things to do. Fine, I'm not saying that you read books 24 hours a day. But spend one day a week reading. Pick up an Islamic book. There are thousands of Islamic books available in English nowadays, physically, online. Pick a book and read it. Read the Quran. How many of us read the Quran every day? Even one verse a day. I'm not going to say read 50 as the hadith tell us. We all have smartphones and tablets and all these gadgets. Do we read even one verse of the Quran a day with translation, with meaning, with reflection, with thinking about what we read? Dedicate one day a week, 1 5-minute block a week to learn about Islam. Because we will be asked about this. And you won't move forward on the Day of Judgment till you can account for your days, where you spent your time. And then Rasulullah says, وَأَنْ أُمُرِهِ فِيمَا أَفْنَى. Then you and I will be questioned about our entire lifespan. What did we do in our lives? Were we just involved in the trivial pursuit of life? Go wake up, go to work, make money, spend it, vacation? Or did we do something meaningful with our lives? Right? People nowadays in our society, they talk about this leaving a legacy for the future generation. What have we left as a legacy for the next generation? Have we published a book? Have we written a book? Have we helped build a Husseiniyah or a masjid? Have we helped to establish a good community tradition? What have we done in our lives? We have to reflect on it because we'll be asked about this. And then the hadith says, وَأَنْ حُبِّنَا أَحْلَ الْبَيْتِ. We will be asked, all of the Muslims will be asked about our love for the Ahlul Bayt. Did we have love for the Ahlul Bayt? And love doesn't just mean I come and beat my chest in Muharram. That's one dimension of expressing love. But it's not the only thing. I mentioned this maybe on Friday night, the verse from Surah Ali Imran. Kul in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, fattabi'uni. If you love Allah, then the way to love, the way to show love, is to follow the Messenger. If we love Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, put your money where your mouth is. Show the love by following them, learning their teachings, and then putting them into practice in our personal lives. It's easy to say, I'm a Shia of Ali. But is it actually easy when the time gets tough? Right? When the going gets tough, the tough get going. So we have to realize that the love of Ahlul Bayt will be asked about that. And love isn't just, again, superficial verbal declaration. It's actually implementation of the love of the Ahlul Bayt.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Ocean of Dua.
أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of the Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance, and also benefits of dua. So stay with us. As you may remember, dear listeners, in the previous program, we started answering one important question that has been remaining in our minds from the beginning of this discussion. We have come to know the importance of the love for the Almighty Allah, but we do not know where to get this love from, and where is the origin of this love. We answered that this love comes from the Almighty Allah Himself, and He Himself is the source of this love. He loves His servants, and as a result, we can see so many signs in this world and hereafter that prove His true love for His servants. Secondly, He Himself confers upon His servants His love and affection. In Munajatul Mu'tasimeen, which is the whispered prayers of the people who are seeking refuge to the Almighty Allah, actually. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, "I ask you to assign over us a protector through which you will deliver us from destructions, turn aside from us blights, and hide us from the striking of great afflictions, to send down upon us some of your tranquility, to wrap our faces in the lights of love for you, and to give us haven in your strong pillar." This is another instance.
رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ.
Also in Munajatu Zahideen, he alayhi salam says, "O Allah, strip from us the robes of opposing you, attend to our affairs through your good sufficiency, amplify our increase from the boundless plenty of your mercy." He alayhi salam continues, "Be liberal in our gifts from the overflow of your grants, plant in our hearts the trees of your love, and complete for us the lights of your knowledge. Give us to taste the sweetness of your pardon and the pleasure of your forgiveness." You can see clearly, dear listeners, that Imam alayhi salam is counting so many different signs of the Almighty Allah's love for the servants. These signs are actually proving in the clearest form and way that the Almighty Allah